Today, the Gospel of Matthew could have easily just said, after Jesus withdrew from the crowds, he healed the Canaanite woman's daughter, and then gone on. He could have treated it just like he did, or some of the evangelists did, some of the other healings that took place, and not given this one any particular instruction or attention. But that's not how Matthew presented this to us. And I think in order to understand a little bit about this, you need to understand a little bit more about the background of St. Matthew. Most of you know he was a tax collector. He was a learned Jew, and he was writing the Gospels mostly for the Jewish audiences. But prior to his conversion, prior to his calling as a tax collector, he was despised by the Romans but was useful to them. Even more so, he was despised by the Jews and could not worship with them. Now, I don't know how many of you here present have seen the series called The Chosen. How many people have seen that? Raise your hands real quick. That's it? Oh, folks, you are missing something really special. Am I right? If you happen to do so, The Chosen is, right now, it's the first season is 8 episodes, and it's a unique presentation on the life of Jesus. And in that presentation, it covers a multitude of different things in the first season. They intend to do 8 seasons, and I sound like a commercial, and I am, because I think it will help you and guide you a little bit more in your faith to see how Jesus is presented, his encounters with Nicodemus, with Peter, with Andrew, with James, with John, with the paralytic that he healed, with the leper that he healed. And the calling of Matthew is really unique. Spoiler alert. Matthew is presented as if he is on the Asperger's syndrome, a little bit autistic, and it's really kind of consistent with how you see that Matthew writes, because in his gospel he pays extreme attention to detail. He tends to overindulge a lot of things, and while he is concise, he is also very precise. The last 2 weeks' gospels, though, set the stage for this, and my hope is that this week, as you see more of the details, you will hear this story with a new heart. You will see the story with new eyes. So what has Matthew captured? I believe in this particular gospel, he catches the essence of Jesus the human and the essence of Jesus in his divinity. Simple, yet very profound. 2 weeks ago, you recall we had the gospel story about the feeding of the loaves and the fish. And we see very clearly the disciples' lack of faith on display. When Jesus tells them, go feed them yourselves. Oh, we don't have anything here to feed them. And then he gets the fish and the loaves. He blesses them, and there's more than enough left over. See, Jesus had come to save the Jewish people. He taught them in large crowds. Not only did he feed them spiritually, but he also fed them physically. And last week, how many people remember the gospel from last Sunday? Oh, one. Okay, good. A little boy back there. Good. That's great. Oh, and the little boy right here, too. That's good, Paul. All right. So last week, we hear the story about Jesus walking on the water. And it was during late night, and off Jesus comes, and you remember what they said. Oh, it looks like a ghost. And somebody says, no, it's the Lord. And Peter, in all his bluntness, cries out to Jesus, and he says, watch this, guys. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come across and walk on the water. And Jesus answers him in one word, come. Well, Peter has a decision to make, doesn't he? Do I risk leaving the boat? Do I really believe this is Jesus? Well, he gets out, begins to walk on the water, and soon begins to sink. And Jesus says to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, Peter was his main man, wasn't he? And Peter knew that he had set a bad example, and all else on the boat were silent. So today we fast forward to the Canaanite woman. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile from a different region, a despised region by most of the Jewish people, the land of Tyre and Sidon, north of the Sea of Galilee. But we have to read this also in the context of chapter 15 of Matthew's gospel. See, he had just encountered the Pharisees and the scribes, and they were in a discussion regarding the traditions of the elders. And they tried to confront him about the law, and yet Jesus turned the situation around. And he began to tell them how they had dishonored God with their actions, but yet they professed great things with their lips. He goes on to say, and I'll paraphrase a little bit, he says, what they ingest with their lips comes out in the toilet. Now, they didn't have toilets back then. The word they used in the gospel was latrine. But you get the picture, okay? Jesus is talking about their not-so-good bodily functions, right? He says then, but what you profess with your lips comes from your heart. He chastises them for the evil in their hearts, and now he flees off to the Gentile area to get away from the Jews that he was teaching, to get away for some peace and quiet, and goes up to the northern region. And it was here that he encounters this woman. So let us listen to what happens here again, and what comes from her heart. Now, if I were a director in a show, I would say, okay, this is act one, scene one. And we hear the woman say, scream out, have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. Lord, Son of David. Now, many of the Jews did not even acknowledge him as Lord. Many did not acknowledge him as being the Son of David. But yet she does both, and then turns around and says, my daughter is possessed by a demon. See, this woman knew him, knew of him, had not met him before, but she knew of him. She knew of his greatness. She knew that and heard perhaps of the miracles that he had performed. So she happened to have this occasion to reach out. Now, Matthew does not record whether or not Jesus heard her. But what he does record is say that Jesus ignores her. But yet she persisted. Move fast forward to the next scene, and what happens? The disciples get really ticked off. They don't want to be bothered. After all, they're going up there to rest. They don't want to be bothered with anyone or anything. So they say to Jesus, let's get rid of her. She's a real pain in the you-know-what. Let's get rid of her. And Jesus tells his disciples then, perhaps for her hearing as well, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, lady, you mean nothing to me. You're not a Jew. You mean absolutely nothing to me. As Emeril Lagasse would say, bam! What a smackdown this was. In other words, get away from me, you non-Jew. So what happens next? She bows down and gives him homage. Now, in Webster's, it defines homage as an act of reverence, honor, or respect, acknowledging the difference in their relationship. She worships him. She bows down before him, and she says yet again, Lord, help me. And Jesus responds now with perhaps one of the most insulting messages coming out of the gospel. It is not right to take the food from the children. The children, the chosen ones of Israel. It's not right to take the food from the children, and give it to the dogs. Bam! Again. You dog, you mean nothing to me. Now, I bet this even surprised the disciples. Why would Jesus treat this woman this way? Notice the disciples don't say a single thing. They probably were mesmerized. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he said this, you know? You dog. Now, certainly it may have been politically correct to refer to her as being a dog, because that's what the Jewish people referred to the people north from the non-Jews, the Gentiles from that region, they referred to them as dogs. But maybe it was politically correct, but can you imagine if it was reported today? News alert, hate speech. Man who claims to be God insults the Canaanite woman. And he probably would have been arrested. We know he was later. But how does she respond now? Please, Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table. Listen to her words again. Once, have pity on me, Lord. Twice, Lord, help me. Three times, Lord, give me the scraps. And what does Jesus say now? Oh, woman, great is your faith. We hear in the Gospels, the Jews had no faith. Even his disciples questioned things from time to time. But now this non-Jewish person, great is her faith. Remember back the week before? Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? This woman, there was no doubt. Today's gospel is actually a lesson on prayer. A three-step process of prayer: trust, perseverance, and humility. She trusted that Jesus would respond to her. She persevered in her actions. She didn't give up, even under the most insulting of conditions. And in all humbleness, she gets down and gives him homage, recognizing that he is far superior to her and he can do what she's asking him to do. See, she knows who Jesus was or knows who Jesus is. Do we? She trusted in Jesus. Do we? She did not lose her focus. Do we? She persisted in her prayer. Do we? She acknowledged her position of lowliness before Jesus, who was far superior to her. Do we? She listened attentively to what Jesus had to say to her. Do we? She was not deterred by those around her saying, "Let's get rid of her. Let's get this woman out of our sight." When we get challenged, are we deterred? She was ready for Jesus' response, whatever it was going to be. Are we? She accepted Jesus' response. Do we? And her life was forever changed by her encounter with Jesus. Is our life changed by our encounters with Jesus? So much to think about in this very short gospel. Matthew again was precise in every word that he chose to put down on paper. While he was teaching primarily to the Jews, he's teaching you and I today. We only have to look at the examples of two great saints, two women of history, to say the power of prayer works if we but just listen. Saint Monica, who prayed for 30 plus years for her son to change his ways, and Teresa of Calcutta, who under the worst of circumstances always knew that God was going to provide for those whom she was called to take care of. My brothers and sisters, today as we gather for church, either here today or virtually, we're reminded in the words of our first reading that today is our Sabbath day. Today is our day of prayer. It is a time for us to set aside to worship the one who is above us, God, to be humble before the Lord. A day for all of us to acknowledge his covenant with us. And St. Paul reminds us that our God is a God of mercy and love. His mercy and love were not limited to just the Jewish people, but it was available to all, to you and I. Jesus did indeed come to save us from our sinfulness. And today, especially today, by virtue of our prayer, our worship, and our receipt of the Eucharist, we become the agents, his agents, of mercy and compassion to all, to the homeless, to the poor amongst us, to those afflicted by this pandemic, to those who have been subject to racism and discrimination, to the unborn child in the womb, to the prisoner who has been condemned to die, to those lawmakers of both political parties, and yes, to those who are members of hate-filled ideologies that plague and seek to destroy our society today. You and I, we are called to bring Jesus to all of them, to be people who trust, to be people who persevere, to be humble people who walk with our God. We do so because we believe in the power of prayer. And most of all, we believe in a God who is above all things.